So apparently we will only hear from counsel for appellant based on that information. Welcome, Mr. Mack, to the Court of Appeals for September 22. This is the second of our two oral arguments we're having today. We have four non-oral matters we were also considering. And the process will be that since you are the sole arguing attorney, Mr. Mack, you'll have up to 15 minutes. I'll assume you will not disagree with yourself, so you will not need rebuttal. And you'll see the time clock. If at any time you have difficulty seeing it, let us know. Are you able to see the 15 minutes right now in the box?
I am, sir.
Okay, very good. So when you proceed, and I'll identify the case in a moment, joining me are Judges Bratfold and Cochran. I am Judge Sleater, who's presiding today. And when you do proceed, if you would identify yourself for the record. If for some reason we lose hearing you because of technology, we will stop the clock and wait until we can reconnect. And so I'll note for the record, this matter is the matter of the welfare of the children of J.S., our file number A200938. And so, Mr. Mack, when you are ready to proceed, you may do so.
Thank you, Your Honor. John Mack for the mother. The most important issue in this case is whether post-trial evidence of a respondent's improved status relevant to the determination of whether she has overcome the presumption of unfitness is relevant. The district court decided that evidence of improvement while the case was on appeal was irrelevant to its determination on remand. She said, mother's new evidence she seeks to introduce came into existence after the trial on this matter that led to the involuntary termination of her parental rights, and as such is not considered by this court. I submit—
Counsel, just to clarify, the quote that you just cited to us, that's from the order denying appellant's motion for a new trial, not the order on remand, correct?
Of course.
Okay, so isn't that is a different procedural posture than the consideration of whether to reopen the record in making the determination on remand? Because at that point, the district court had already issued its order on remand, correct?
Yes, and we're claiming that that's error.
If I can follow up a minute, I just want to make sure I'm clear on the arguments you're making and the issues that you're raising here. So in the district court's order on remand, which it is in your addendum, the first footnote indicates that the district court, at that point, there was no affidavit before the district court. There was only an email, correct?
That's true.
Okay. And the email did not include any information about how long mother had been sober. There was an allegation in the motion, but the email itself did not include that.
That's true. And in fact, I never had that information. And one of the reasons why my motion of April 23rd is so important. That's the one where I ask Polk County Human Services to go forth and check this out, is that these allegations and my subsequent affidavit are allegations which, if true, may or may not overcome the presumption. But I, as a lawyer, can only raise the issues, whereas Polk County Human Services has the ability and the facilities and the expertise to do just this. And that's why I think that it was so problematical that the court waited until my post-trial motion was heard to rule on the issue of whether she should go forth and order Polk County to update.
Okay, I certainly understand your concern in that regard, but I just want to make sure I'm clear on the issues that you're raising with regard to the order on remand, as opposed to those that you're raising with regard to the order denying the motion for a new trial.
Sure.
So turning to the order denying the motion for a new trial, can you tell me what determinations in that order you're challenging specifically?
Yes.
Thank you.
One is, most importantly, the determination that the information between the first order and the second order was irrelevant. That's the big one.
Okay, and And can you point me to where you think the court made the determination that it's irrelevant? Because I don't think the court actually uses the word irrelevant in its order. I think.
I'm sorry.
So help me understand where you're reading that.
Yes, please take a look at ADD 9. And I'm quoting now.
I'm sorry, I missed that. What page?
ADD 9.
Nine. But that's the order on remand. Are you talking about ADD 28, page 9 of the order denying the motion for a new trial?
Well, I find that ADD, here's the quote anyway, mother's new evidence she seeks to introduce came into existence after the trial on this matter that led to the involuntary termination of her parental rights, and as such is not considered by this court. So she doesn't use the actual word irrelevant, but that's essentially equivalent to it.
Okay, and to be clear, I find that on page 9 of the order denying the motion for a new trial, and which is ADD 28.
I see, I confused the order number.
No, that's okay. It's just helpful to clarify this, so I appreciate it. All right, and then you're also challenging the district court's determination regarding the constitutionality question.
Yes.
Is there anything else in the order denying the new trial and the order denying services that you're challenging?
Obviously, order denying services I'm challenging.
Right.
Also, I'm challenging the adequacy of the evidence, but that gets tied into Article 1, if you will, the fact that the court didn't look at her improvements.
Going back to the question about whether the record should have been reopened, isn't that an argument that really should have been made prior to the order on remand rather than in a motion for a new trial?
But I did.
In other words, couldn't you have filed a motion to reopen the record or for further evidentiary hearing? I didn't see such a motion.
I think the answer to that is that would be subsumed under my motion to require Polk County Human Services to go forth and investigate. Frankly, I was expecting a ruling on that prior to the judge's determination. Remember, too, that the court did not request either hearing or input on its subsequent order. Therefore, I had no way of knowing that was coming. And I thought what would be coming is putting on a date for my motion to require Polk County Human Services to do its thing. So the only time that I would have had to bring up the issue that I'm bringing up on the motion for new trial was, in fact, after the court issued its order.
Okay, thank you. And then how did the, looking at it now, looking now at the order on remand, which I think is a critical order for us to focus on, how did the district court err in or abuse its discretion when it concluded that the evidence from the trial was sufficient and it considered the email and found that mother made no mention in the email about the length of her sobriety, which was a primary concern in the case, and therefore declined to reopen the record because it found it had sufficient evidence?
Hence, my request that Polk County Human Services go forth and investigate. I don't know, and I can't vouch for my client's accuracy, but Polk County has the ability to go to the providers and make that determination and has the expertise to do so. The other interesting thing about what you just read from the court's order is that the court considered that to be a preliminary, at least, to reopening the record. So, in fact, it considered my possible reopening of the record as being made before the court made its determination.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Mack, it sounds like you agree that the court's decision, if I understood correctly, not to reopen the record was not inconsistent with our court's remand, which gave discretion. And you also make or seem to concede that there is no legal authority that would have obligated the court to reopen the record. If that to be the case, how would we have a basis to find there's an abuse of discretion in failing to open the record?
Well, the abuse of discretion would come when the court takes a look at my submissions for a new trial. Suppose I'm right. Suppose that post-trial evidence of this kind is relevant. Then if it's relevant, the court has to make a determination of whether or not it's insufficient or whether or not it should make further findings to see whether it's sufficient or not, and it didn't.
But actually, counsel, didn't the court find that the footnote one of the order on remand, didn't the court actually find that the new information wasn't sufficient to make to rebut the presumption because it didn't go to the primary concern in the case?
Two things. One, Ms. Selman did indicate that she'd been sober for some length of time. How long?
Not in the email, though, sir. In the affidavit, but that was after the order on remand. In the email, there's no indication as to the length of her sobriety.
No, and again, I go back to the fact that she did indicate she was sober for some reasonable period of time. And if that's so, Hope County should have gone forth and seen whether that's true or not. Furthermore, neither the court nor the other side queried me on how long that was or took any position indicating that it was too short to be worthwhile. In fact, Polk County Health and Human Services action in this case has been almost non-existent. And while I hate to say it, it would have been helpful if they'd been here today to ask some of those questions.
I agree with you, sir. But going back to your argument then, you argued that Mother presented some relevant information. Is it your suggestion that a court abuses its discretion in not reopening the record if one party presents relevant information? I mean, is that any relevant information is requires reopening of the record? Is that your view?
No. My argument is that if the court starts out with the belief that all such evidence is irrelevant, then when it fails to hold a hearing or at least take the preliminaries to see whether it should hold a hearing, it's an error of law. It's not an abuse of discretion.
Okay, thank you.
Let me go on. Interesting questions. And the cases are interesting with respect to whether or not newly discovered evidence, let's call it 2020 evidence, even though there's some in 2019. There's no Minnesota case in point. There are some very interesting cases outside the state of Minnesota. In re DJ, for example, says, quote, "The best interest of a child is a dynamic factual issue. We recognize that the evidence on this issue on remand may differ substantially from the evidence adduced at the hearing leading to the order from which this appeal is taken." And I will submit, I've submitted these cases, of course, before the court, so I won't go through all of them. But every single case I'm able to find with regard to rehearing on remand either says that the court should hold a hearing or that the court has discretion to hold a hearing. None says that they simply should make a determination based upon what happened. The Minnesota cases do, however, make a very important point. And the cases say that current evidence is the strongest evidence with regard to whether the presumption has been overcome. And I think that the issue of currency trumps the issue of trial court's determination. Minnesota courts have said, for example, in Welfare of SZ, which is one of the primary cases in TPR law, when considering termination of parental rights, the court relies not primarily on past history, but to a great extent upon the projected permanency of the child's inability. So I want to go back to my hypothetical. Suppose between the time that the court made its original order and the time that the court made its second order that mother had another child. Let's assume then that the county that brought that TPR action before the court to determine whether or not the child should be taken from the home and relies on the presumption. Suppose then that the court says the mother has now overcome the presumption and furthermore, the TPR is dismissed. I just can't believe that evidence like that would be irrelevant to the court's determination on remand. And if that's the case, then I submit that the evidence is potentially relevant and the court should at least make a factual determination based on some real evidence and not just hypothetical affidavits as to whether or not that evidence should be allowed. So I submit that if the court does remand, it should remand as follows, that the court, the district court should order Pope County Human Services to do a quick, maybe 30 days, determination, seeing the mother and seeing some of the other people involved. And if it determines that she now has enough evidence to overcome the presumption, presents it to the court. If, however, she makes a determination that the evidence is still insufficient over the presumption, we have a brief, perhaps half day, perhaps day hearing, but not a full trial as to whether the judge agrees. I thank you for your attention on this.
Thank you, Mr. Mack. We do appreciate your comments and your briefing as well. And we'll consider, obviously, the both parties' briefs, and we'll take the matter under advisement in our expedited fashion since it's a termination case.
I think this is a case of first impression.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Mack. And you have a good day. It's good to see you.
Same to the court.